Chapter 11, Section 3.4, Execution Matters More Than Strategy. One thing I had become aware of in my journey around companies was that few seemed to have examples of maps. They had things they called maps, but these diagrams lacked those essential characteristics, for example visual, context-specific, position relative to an anchor and movement. When I pointed this out, I'd often get a lot of pushback, especially on the aspect of movement. This still happens today, so it's worth emphasizing. Movement isn't simply about drawing a line on a picture, it's about the consistency of meaning of such a line. Position, anchor and movement are essential for navigation. Take a look at figure 146. It's a farm, that's the context, it's visual, it has position of fields relative to an anchor, in this case the compass, and you can draw movement on it. You'd probably agree that you can give this map to someone else and they could quite happily find the barley field with it. See figure 146, a map of a farm. For more details. I've taken the same map, kept the same number of fields plus their shape and relative areas, but removed any concept of position and the anchor. I've just placed the fields in order of what type they are: fruit, livestock and crop. I've also added a movement line to it. The question is, could you hand this map, figure 147, to someone else and expect them to find the barley field? See figure 147, a map of a farm. For more details. It should be obvious that the answer is no. Movement and its consistency, you can follow this path to go from A to B, are not only essential qualities of a map, but they also turn out to be essential for map making. Explorers can't explore by just sitting still, something has to move, whether it's them, a drone or a satellite is immaterial. Action is a necessity for exploration. These navigational qualities enable us to learn about the environment, whether through a visual form or an equivalent internalized mental model. Take for example the tube map. The stations might not be in exactly the right geographical position, but it is nevertheless a useful map. It has position of stations, anchored by the tube network itself, and consistent movement between them. If I'm at Bond Street, there are multiple routes for me to get to Cannon Street, but there is consistency. If I'm traveling anti-clockwise on the Circle Line, then I know I will travel through South Kensington, Sloane Square, Victoria, St. James's Park and Westminster on my journey. Point 3, figure 148. If there was no consistency, then the Circle Line might take me via Victoria, St. James's Park and Westminster one day and Victoria, Edgware Road and Mornington Crescent the next. I wouldn't know where I would end up and it would be impossible to navigate. See figure 148, a tube map. For more details. Of course, the tube map doesn't have to look like the above. You could build your own variety by simply traveling on the trains and recording the stations, but as long as you can consistently describe movement, then it is a map you can share with others. Now, tube maps are currently a vogue in the business world, with various companies creating them to describe complex environments. For example, in figure 149 we have a tube map of the digital world. The map lacks context, being simply a grouping of technology and digital concepts. It has position of components, but it is not clear what anchor is used. Lastly, according to the map, then to go from online ad networks to agency holding companies, you need to travel through social advertising, then email marketing, then digital agencies, then management consultants, then campaign management, then media metrics, then media agencies to reach the destination. Is this true? On what basis is that movement consistent and justified? I suspect it's not. This is not a map, it's a diagram of loosely connected concepts and questionable relationships. See figure 149, a tube map of the digital world. For more details. So, why does this matter and what has this got to do with execution? Without maps, then situational awareness will be poor. In 2008, I was still firmly under the illusion that people were just keeping their maps secret from me, but doubts were growing. I started to have this notion that some companies might actually be blind to change, and if people couldn't see the environment they were operating in, then how could they prepare for predictable forms of change? By the time such changes would become obvious, their pace and any inherent inertia would make them unsurmountable and even fatal. However, in discussion with others, I was often told that this didn't matter, that strategy was fairly meaningless compared to the real key, which was execution. I also had doubts about this because firing a gun rapidly doesn't help you if you don't know where to fire it. In 2010, Professor Roger L. Martin challenged this notion head-on in The Execution Trap. If you haven't read it, go do so. Martin's argument was there was no distinction between execution and strategy, they were part of the same thing. By pure chance, in 2012 under an LEF research project, then I had the opportunity to test this. Every company told me they had strategy, but I was acutely aware that there existed different levels of situational awareness. I had been interviewing 160 plus Silicon Valley companies looking for examples of open gameplay, whether open source, open data or open standards. I plotted these companies against their level of strategic play based upon situational awareness, i.e. using their understanding of own and competitors' value chains and how they were evolving, versus their propensity to take action, in this case to use an open approach to change a market. The result is shown in Figure 150. See Figure 150, Awareness versus Action. For more details. Leading Edge Forum 2012 study on situational awareness versus action. The bigger the bubbles, the more companies at that point. This was Silicon Valley, supposedly the top end of competition, and even here there were companies building strategic play based upon low levels of situational awareness and in some cases near blindness to their environment. Quite a few not only didn't understand devolution, they didn't know their value chains or even what their users needed. Now, if execution rules, then the companies on the right-hand side of this graph with a high tendency towards taking action should probably on average perform better. Of course, if strategic play based upon situational awareness was important, then the companies at the top of the graph should perform better. Out of curiosity, I decided to examine market cap changes of those companies over the last 7 years. The results are shown in Figure 151. See Figure 151, Market Capitalization Impact. For more details. Leading Edge Forum 2012 study on situational awareness versus action. I can't repeat what my first response was, but let us just say that I was very surprised. What the data strongly suggests is those companies with high levels of strategic play based upon situational awareness and a propensity towards action perform better than those who don't. Just having a focus on action is not enough. In the case of companies having low levels of situational awareness, i.e. those in the bottom half, then action, and how well you execute on it, does matter. Those with poor situational awareness and low propensity for action performed negatively, whilst those with poor awareness but a high tendency towards action were more neutral. In other words, if you're blind to the environment, then it's better to shoot faster and with more impact just in case you do actually hit something. Hence, if you're competing against others with poor situational awareness, then I can see how an argument that execution matters more than strategy can occur. However, if you have poor situational awareness and are competing against someone with high situational awareness, then you might have a much higher propensity towards action and better execution of such, but they will still tend to outperform you. I find myself strongly in agreement with Professor Martin that strategy and execution are part of the same thing, but also I'll add that situational awareness is a key part of this. This study, however, was in Silicon Valley, and the levels of situational awareness tended to deteriorate outside that cauldron of creativity. It had taken me several years to discover some weak evidence to back up my initial suspicions that corporate blindness, i.e. very low levels of situational awareness, was a problem. But how commonplace is this?